If you have a Bible, I would like to invite you to join me in Ephesians chapter 2. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to be in verse 10. We've seen in our study of Ephesians that we're looking at this book that speaks to us about our life in Christ. It talks about, you know, of course, the first half of the book gives us the doctrine, how Paul usually writes his letters, his epistles. He first starts out laying the doctrinal foundation, and then he moves into the last half, and he talks about how we can apply that doctrine. And it's the same with Ephesians chapters 1 to 3. In chapters 1 to 3, we see that Paul speaks about all that we have in Christ. And then the last half, he talks about how we ought to live in Christ in this world based on all that we have in him. And in this first half of chapters 1, 2, and 3, we finished up chapter 1 where Paul says, hey, remember your beginning in Christ. Remember what you have in Christ. Remember that you have all spiritual blessings. And we saw how Paul pulled out 8 different blessings and talked about those blessings. And, you know, 3 that glorify the Father, 4 that glorify the Son, and that last one that glorifies the Spirit of God. And we saw that that's a beginning, and then saw that it is just the beginning because there's more to come. And yet, instead of going on to that more to come, Paul takes a step back in chapter 2, and he says, now, wait a minute. Our new beginning implies that there was a change that happened in our lives. And so he talks about that change in 2 passages in this second chapter. The second chapter breaks into 2 parallel passages, verses 1 to 10 and then verses 11 to 22. And they follow the same order. You find that Paul talks about our need first. And in those first 3 verses of chapter 2, you see there, what's our need? Well, we're dead. Without Christ, we're dead in trespasses and sin. Without Christ, we're children of disobedience. Without Christ, we're children of wrath. Without Christ, we're condemned. And that's our need. We'll see later that Paul readdresses that need in verses 11 and 12, where he says, look, you were far off, but now you're made nigh. And being dead, being separated from Christ, means we were far off from the blessings that are available in Christ. We were far off from that relationship that we have in Christ with our Creator. And then after our need, verses 4 to 7, we took a look at our change, at how God quickened us. You know, He made us alive. He took the dead thing and He made it alive. God did that. Why? Well, just because He's kind. No other reason. He's kind. He's good. He loves us. He wants to love us. He wants to lavish His love on us, and He wants to show everybody, He wants to show the creation just how kind He is by loving people like us. And so in our last message, before I went down to Columbia, we looked at verses 8 and 9, where He says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we took a good amount of time and kind of went back through all of these great truths about, hey, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is the part that God gives toward us. We're saved by grace, not because of anything we did, and yet it's through faith also. That's our response to God and His call to repentance and faith. And yet even in that we saw that God gave us the faith to be saved, didn't we? You guys remember that? Romans 10:17. I think Romans 10:17 is one of those key verses for folks that spend a lot of time on the streets. You spend a lot of time on the streets witnessing to people, and you don't see a whole lot of people being, quote-unquote, convicted. Romans 10:17 lets us know that every time we share the gospel with somebody, God will give that person sufficient faith to be saved. What they do with that faith depends on them. And then that leaves us in verse 10. We saw our need, we saw the change, we saw how God affected that change, and now we're going to talk about the results. You know, after that change, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and then it says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's where we want to start today, that's where we want to finish today. We're just going to look at one verse this morning to try and finish out this passage, and then we'll dive in next week, if Lord permits, there in verse 11. And go back over this same process about our need and the change that God worked in us and how He did it and then the results of it. But, you know, this morning, I think this verse is just one of those verses where it's important to take some time and just look at this and contemplate what the verse says. When God gave us life, He gave us eternal life. He gave us life in Jesus Christ. He forgave us our sins. We're justified. We're redeemed. We are born again, regenerated. All of the things that come in this package of our salvation. You know, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we were saved to work. And a lot of times, you know, with verses 8 and 9 coming before verse 10, a lot of times we don't like to bring works into our salvation. And obviously, we're not saved by works, but when we're saved unto works. God has a purpose for us. And folks, if we do the works that God has us to do, our lives can make a difference. And I think a lot of us, you know, that's what drives us. That's what gets us up in the morning. That's what makes every week go by. You know, my life can make an eternal difference if I invest in the things that God has for me. And that's what we want to contemplate this morning. That's what we want to look at. God changed us. God made us new in Christ. And making us new in Christ, He has given us the opportunity and the privilege of making an eternal difference with our temporal lives. You are here but for a moment, and then you're gone. So what kind of difference are you going to make with your life? What kind of difference are you going to make with your time? And basically, you know, when we talk about our lives, we're talking about our time. Because that's what your life is made of. You have very limited time because of all the other things going on in your life. And so, let's start with just the first part of this verse. We see God's purpose in us. God created us in Jesus Christ for works. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You know, all those who are saved, we know this. We have been made new. This is 2 Corinthians 5:17. You guys probably know it by heart. You're a new creature in Christ. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In Christ we are made new. Before we were children of wrath and children of disobedience, and today, because of God's goodness, we're children of God. Right? Made new. But made new, created, it says in this verse, in Christ Jesus, that's where you are created new. In Christ Jesus, our key phrase for the whole book of Ephesians, in Christ Jesus, you're created new in Him. Okay, that lets us know a little bit about this aspect of the works that God has for us to do. Look at 1 Corinthians. It's over to the left in your Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14 deal with spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. And when we talk about the works that we have been created to do, we need to understand that we were created for these works in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean for us? Well, that means 1 Corinthians 12:27, that we are in Christ. We are now members of His body. Paul says to the Corinthian congregation, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Now, and here's just an interesting side note. You know, there's a couple of us, we've talked about this a lot, about, you know, a lot of people don't believe in the universal church. A lot of people don't believe, you know, it's only the local church that's the body of Christ. The body of Christ doesn't exist, not a local church, and this, that, and the other thing. It's very, very interesting to notice that Paul uses that word "ye" in this verse and not "we." Because in other contexts, he uses "we." We are the body of Christ, universally. Paul was in another city, and he's talking to a congregation several, I don't know how many, you know, miles away. And he says, "We are the body of Christ." And yet here he says, look, ye, okay, that second person plural, ye, y'all, members of that congregation are the members of the body of Christ. So you see both aspects. That yes, there is a universal body. We are all members of the same body. There's only one body. There's only one new man. It is Christ the head and us the members. And yet also, the manifestation of the body of Christ right now is the local congregation. This is where we see the members being manifest. This is where the gifts are manifest among us. If you are saved, you are a member of the body of Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." And then if you go back just a little bit to verse 13, you'll see that "for by one Spirit are we all," and here he uses "we," "are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." We have all been baptized into, immersed into, placed into the body of Christ. That's what it means when it says you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It means that in Christ Jesus, you are now a member of the body of Christ. And as a member of that body, the head has some very specific works that he wants you to do. Now in Ephesians 2:10, we see that the Bible clearly says that every member has been made unto good works. No one is excluded. No one's left out. Well, I think a lot of times people, you know, we sit back and we think, well, you know, what can I do? Now, there's nothing that I can do. Well, the verse says we are his workmanship. We, all of us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, each and every one of us. This speaks of what we could call God's divine design in each member of the body of Christ. Now think about it. Think about it. Each member is unique. We need to think about the body of Christ like our bodies. Each member is unique. Each finger has a different aspect. Each hand, each everything, different aspect. What? You have different spiritual gifts. You have different talents. You have different skills. You have a different personality. And you have different passions in the ministry. Is that not true? We're all different, are we not? And that doesn't mean that our mission is any different. That doesn't mean that the general work of being and making disciples is different. No, it's all the same work. We need to evangelize and we need to edify. But in that work, we need to understand that God has made each member unique. Why? Because he has designed it so, because he has specific works that he wants you to do that others aren't going to be able to do. Okay? You're the fit for the works he has for you to do. It's just like the physical body. The physical body. How does the physical body function? Does anybody like having the hiccups? No. Why? It's uncomfortable. Your body is doing something involuntarily that irritates you, right? And so what does that mean? That means when our physical body, when every member of our physical body is doing what the head wants it to do, everything's okay. And the body moves and does what the head wants it to do. It gets aggravating and irritating when a member does something that you don't want it to do. You know, you get that tick. You know, you're tired and your eyes start to twitch. You know, it starts to twitch and starts to twitch. And it aggravates you and aggravates you and aggravates you. Well, it's the body of Christ. Look, the body of Christ, the church, functions like God designed it. Who's the head of the body of Christ? It's the Lord Jesus. He is the head. He is the one who directs the body. Every member should submit itself unto the direction of the head. When it doesn't, it begins to aggravate the rest of the body. Okay? And you're in Ephesians 2. Jump over to Ephesians 4:16. We see the same principle throughout this whole book of Ephesians. Each member, every one of us, has a part to play. Paul calls it here an effectual working, a working that has an effect to it. And it says in Ephesians 4:16, from whom, from Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, watch it, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Each member has a part to play. Every one of us in this church has something that God wants us to do. And unless each member, every member, does his part, do you know what? The body doesn't function like it's supposed to. We've all seen folks that have a member of their body, a leg or an arm that doesn't work, and they've got it held up in a sling and it doesn't work like it's supposed to, and the body doesn't function like it's been designed to function. And when we don't do the work that God has designed us to do in the body, the local church, what does that mean? It means that the body doesn't function like it should. It doesn't function according to God's plan, God's design. Now, that same truth applies to the church as a whole, the universal church, everybody, and it also applies to us in the local body, a local church. If each of us as members of this body are not doing the works that God designed us to do, the body itself will not function as God designed it. It's not going to grow. I mean, it's not going to be healthy. Okay? Everybody has a part. And in order for that effectual working to take place, the edifying of itself in love, the building up of itself in love, everybody has to participate. Everybody needs to be involved. And everybody needs to be involved according to how God has made them. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to pull out one more verse in this context. 1 Corinthians 12:18. 1 Corinthians 12:18. First Corinthians 12:18, look what it says, still in this context of 1 Corinthians 12:13 and 14 of spiritual gifts in the body. He says in 1 Corinthians 12:18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, how? As it hath pleased him. You see, each member of the body is unique. There are no two members alike. Why? because you have a different personality than mine, right? Nobody, and not everybody can have that shining, sparkling personality of the pastor. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. We all have different gifts, do we not? Yeah, you know, you've got, some people have gifts. You know, you got, just going out on the street a little bit with you guys, you know, Greg, he's got really good gifts of open air preaching. And Natalia and Dave and Larry, they got wonderful gifts of working with people one-on-one. Tim's got teaching gifts. So different gifts. Now how about skills? Skills that you have learned during your life. I mean, can anybody fix a house? I know Tim can fix a house. Okay, ask my wife. Can I fix a house? Oh, no. We had to have somebody come in and fix the mess that I made. And then I learned my lesson. I don't fix houses. Okay, I don't have that skill set. Okay, my brother is good with websites. So we're different. Different personalities, different gifts, different talents, different skill sets, different life circumstances even. Look, but the mission, what is our mission? You see, the mission doesn't change. The mission is always be and make disciples. That's what the head has told the body to do. And what we need is diversity and unity. Just like your body. You have a left hand and a right hand. I am right-handed, okay? I eat with my right hand, sometimes with both, but usually with my right hand. Okay, I write with my right hand. My left hand is clunky. But I still use it, don't I? Yeah, same way with my feet. Okay, I'm right-footed. I do things with my right foot that I cannot do with my left foot. But what, am I going to cut off my left foot and not use it? No. And it's like that. Look, we're a small church, we're a small body, but everybody's important. Why? Because God placed you here. You are saved. You are a member of the local church. You are a member of this body. You are made specifically for works that somebody else cannot do as well as you. I mean, if I had to, you probably done this. If you had to, if you're right-handed, you could probably eat with your left hand. Okay, maybe you got a cast on your right hand. You got to learn how to eat with your left hand. We've probably all seen those YouTube videos of people eating with their feet. You know, guys that, you know, been through an accident and they don't have arms or hands. And what do? Well, they got to get retrained and they can hold a fork and use their feet like their hands. I mean, but is that how the body was designed? No. The mission of the body comes from the head. We are to be and make disciples. However, just like a physical body, the body of Christ has many different members. And they are designed for many different things in order to work together to accomplish the mission. Now here's an example. She probably won't listen to this message, so I'll use my mom. Okay? I don't think, maybe Carl can correct me here, but I don't think you could ever get my mom out street preaching. Probably not. Okay? Probably not. She's not that kind of personality. But she go every Thursday night. You know what she's doing every Thursday night? She's at the community center serving food and cleaning up because they got this community dinner for low income subsidized whatever. And they have this, and I want to call it a soup kitchen. It's not a soup kitchen. I mean, it's really good, most of the time, pretty good food. She works that every week. And she also works at a shelter for battered women where they bring them in and they get them reestablished and kind of settled and then get them retrained to get back out in the community and jobs. I mean, she's all the time involved in this kind of stuff. Now, it would be real easy for somebody to look at that and say, oh, well, those are just social works. That's not preaching the gospel, right? Well, if you take that member of the body of Christ, somebody who has that kind of heart and gifting and personality and desire and passion to love people in those kind of simple, practical ways, could we not build a ministry on top of that to reach the people that she is reaching with the gospel? As she goes out and meets these people, we could go out with her as she builds these relationships and these community organizations. Could a church not get behind that, support that, and then reach those families with the gospel? Would that not be an easy thing? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then one member of the body of Christ complements another member of the body of Christ. It's not that one is wrong and the other one is right. It's we need to work together and we need to understand that different is not always wrong. You have been uniquely created by God in Jesus Christ as a member of His body. He has created you in Christ for works that need to be done. That's Ephesians 2:10. Okay? works that will contribute to the mission of being and making disciples. It says, for we, all of those who are saved, all of those children of wrath who have been made now children of God by God's kindness, by grace we're saved through faith, not of works. For we, all of us, are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's made you for good works. God has made you to do works in this body that nobody else can do as well as you. And if I had to do the works that you do, it would be like eating with your foot. I could probably learn it, but I could never do it as well as you. Does that make sense? And if you had to do the work that God has designed me to do, it would be the same. You could probably learn how to do it, but it wouldn't be natural. Does that make sense? Okay, the second half of this verse then is the opposite side of this coin. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now watch what God says about the works that He's given us to do. It says, the works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God has a purpose in us. We are in Christ Jesus for good works. He's created us for those works. And yet He says in this last half of this verse that the works are ordained for us. The works are prepared for us. The works are established for us. The works are commanded for us to do them. The different works of each member are a perfect fit for the member. Well, what are we talking about here? Look, not only has God made you, each member uniquely designed for the works that He wants us to do, He has also designed the works specifically for us. Have you ever played with blocks? Square block, square hole, right? Unless you were a boy and that block set came with a hammer, then what did you do? Well, you put the round block on the square hole, and boy, you put it through, didn't you? Okay? I did. I'm going to make it fit, man, and I did. You couldn't get it out afterwards, but boy, I put it in there. And I think a lot of times, that's how ministry works in a local church. We've got one hole, square hole. You better fit it. And if you don't fit it, I'm going to put you in it. Right? Brother, if you ain't knocking doors on Tuesday night, you ain't in fellowship with the Lord. Now, Tuesday night's visitation. Ain't nothing wrong with visitation. I'm glad people do it. I wish I was better at it. But that for me, it's like eating with my foot. Okay? But there's guys that do it, and they do it well, right? I mean, we know guys that do it, and they do it well. But to take that square hole and say every round block in my congregation has to fit that hole, what are we doing? What are we doing? It doesn't work that way. It is a perfect fit. Look, for each member, the works that God expects him to do, it's not drudgery. It's not a burden. Have you ever been put into that situation? You're like, oh. You know, you're like, oh boy. You know, sometimes you just have to do it. It's church-wide function, and you're like, okay, here we go. Whatever it is, you know, whether it's hanging the door hangers, or whether it's knocking the doors, or whether it's going out passing out tracts, or whether, you know, something that you're like, oh wow, I'm real uncomfortable with that. But you do it. Right? You do it. And yet when you find your niche, you find your work, the work that God has called you to do, the work that He has prepared for you to do, you know what? It's that square block and the square hole. It's a round block and a round hole. And it is not drudgery, man. It fits. It's just like, it's like that. And you're like, wow, I like this. And you get charged about it. Okay, that's where we need to be, folks. That's where we need to be. That is how God has designed the body to work. The worker has been made for the works, and the works have been designed for the worker. Your works in the ministry are as natural for you as eating with your right hand if you're right-handed. You will sit down at the table and grab the fork, and you will eat with your without even thinking about it. Without even thinking about it. And the works that God has designed for us in the ministry, they will be our passion, not drudgery. They will be our passion and not a burden. It's what we were made for. It's what we're made for. Okay? I always like the example of using a DVD player to drive nails. You think, well, that's probably a good use for a DVD player because after a couple of nails, what's going to happen? You're going to trash your DVD player. Okay? But if you've held a hammer in your hand, a really good one, well, you're like, wow, give me a nail, you know, give me a nail. And you look for that big old 16-penny nail and, boy, put it in the wood, you know? Why? Because the nail was made for the hammer for the nail. It's a perfect fit, the tool for the job. And sometimes I think we've got Christians, they're like DVD players trying to pound nails. It's not working. It's not working. And so go over to Romans chapter 12. Go over to Romans chapter 12. God's created the worker for the works and the works for the worker. It's a perfect fit, folks. All we need to do is grow in Christ, develop in Christ, and we're going to get to this later. We need to grow in Christ, develop in Christ towards spiritual maturity so that we can find those works that God's called us to do. And then we need to do them. We need to do them with all our heart. We need to do them with every ounce of effort that we have so that we can participate in the mission that God's given the body of Christ. Okay, Romans chapter 12, look at verse 3. Romans 12, 3, it says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of the other." There's a couple of things to look at in this passage. Verse 3 is very important. "I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Okay? "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now, there's a balance there. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but don't think more lowly of yourself than you ought either. Why? Because God has given every man grace and faith to do a work. God has designed you for a work for you. We are all equals. Get it? Just because I am up here behind a pulpit blathering on Sunday mornings does not mean that I am more important than you in the work that God has given this church to do. The work that I have been given to do is a vocal work. I'm the guy behind the pulpit, but look, the work of this ministry will never get done if this is all we got, will it? Sunday morning, Wednesday night. That will not glorify God in being and making disciples. Is it an integral part of what we do? Yep. Just as evangelism and edification is by the members. So don't be comparing member against member and saying, "Oh, well, he's better than I am. Oh, well, he's less than I am." And this is one of the problems I've heard come out of the street evangelism ministries is, and I've heard was it Jeff Rose, Jeremiah Cry, he's preached on it, and then there was another guy that preached on it that was kind of in that group, and he says, "Look, one of the Pat Nesserato." Then he says, "Look, our sin is pride, because we get puffed up in ourselves thinking that we're better than the rest of the body because we're out preaching on the streets." And I say, "Well, now wait a minute, because they're members of the body of Christ just like everybody else. They have a street ministry, whereas everybody else has a ministry too. God has designed us uniquely for the works that he's given us to do. We're all supposed to be evangelizing, right? We are all supposed to be participating in the ministry of edifying other believers, correct? But, you know, right there, the biblical way of presenting the gospel or the biblical way of sharing and exemplifying truth to edify other believers, you have tons of leeway. Folks, tons of leeway to develop your ministry. I mean, it's like we've talked about in our community, Southern Johnson County. Our community is very closed. Okay, Southern Johnson County is a very, very closed community. Why? People don't go outside of their homes. When they go outside of their homes, they're inside of their cars. With the windows up and the air conditioner or the heater on and the radio going, and they go from one place to another. And you think, well, you know, we need to reach these people. We need to get the gospel into their hands. How can we do that? And I'll tell you what, you know, we can get through this direct mail deal that we've been looking at. We can get a gospel in every household in the entire Southern Johnson County area. Could you do that by passing out tracts personally? No way. No way. Because there's going to be people that just don't go out in public. I mean, they go from home to office and office to home. And then that's it. You won't see them. You'll try and pass out tracts in the grocery store parking lot and witness to them, and you'll get kicked out because it's private property. So it's not that, you know, we need to look, there is leeway, there is liberty to exercise our gifts and callings in Jesus Christ. There are different ways of doing the ministry in different contexts. Yes, we need to follow the biblical pattern, but it doesn't mean that one person is better than another. It doesn't mean that one member is better than another. Okay, verse 4, we're equals, yes, but we're not the same. Verse 4 says, For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, verse 3 makes it very clear that we are all members of the same body. We are equals. And yet verse 4 says equal does not mean same, because we're not made the same. We're not made the same for the same works. Obviously, we are involved in evangelism and edification. Okay, we understand that. That's the mission the head has given us to do. But God gives a lot of room for each member to work according to His divine design. And so, look. You know, it's not just about street ministry. Look, folks, it is not just about pulpit ministry. If it were me, that's where I'd stop ministry. I love the pulpit. I would be out on the street. But you know what? It's not just about door hangers either. Boy, we got 15,000 of them or more still sitting around. Now look, it's not just about direct mail. Do you think we can just do direct mail and then sit back and watch TV? No. It's about doing all that we can, all that we are passionate about, all that we want to do according to how God has made us. Look, Carl put together the website. Okay, I put together some of the graphics. Sebo goes out on the street. Dave, Larry, they're out on the street. Got Tim Hull teaching when I'm gone. Everybody's doing something. Everybody's doing something. That is what we need to make the ministry function. Verse 5, Paul says, so we being many are one body in Christ. And look at it, and every one members one of another. We need the diversity of God's design so that we can work in unity to accomplish the mission. And here's what I'm going to say, okay? Different is not necessarily wrong. And I know I've said this before. Now, we're not talking differences in doctrine, okay? The Mormons are wrong. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they are wrong. They do not have the same Jesus as we do. For as much as, you know, Mitt Romney looks like a nice, shiny candidate, look, we're not talking about doctrine. We're talking about differences in gifts, differences in personalities, differences in talents, and differences in your skill sets. People are just different, and different is not wrong. So, look, before we speak ill of some other member of our body in the body of Christ, just take a step back and say, well, now, wait a minute. Did God make him that way? Because God has a certain work that He wants him to do and he needs that kind of personality. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that maybe God has led a person, a member of the body of Christ, through certain life circumstances and made him the way he is or she is for a specific work that God wants them to do? I think one of our buddies that goes out on the street a lot down on the plaza, I think he is one of the most stubborn men that has graced the earth. And yet you look at the ministry God's given him and you go, yeah, it takes a stubborn man to do that kind of ministry. And I think he is very effective in what he does and how he does it. And so before we start pointing fingers and saying, oh, he is this and he is that and he is, oh, I wish he were, take a step back and say, you know what? He's a member of the body of Christ. And by God's grace, and this is 1 Corinthians 15:10, I always call this the Popeye verse. Anybody watch Popeye growing up, the cartoon? No, just me? Okay, there's one more. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, like Popeye, I am what I am. Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, look, I am what I am. Am I perfect? Look at me. Look at me. Am I perfect? Amy?
Nope.
No, thank you. No. I am, but you know what? By the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, God could have saved me years before he did. God could have given me a different family life. God could have given me different jobs and life circumstances. He could have built me different. He could have wired me different. But you know what? He didn't. And look at yourself the same way. Stop beating yourself for not being this or not being that or being some other thing. And you know what? By the grace of God, you are what you are. Yes, we need to grow in grace. Yes, we need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Yes, but you know what? It is the fruit of the Spirit, and it is a Spirit who will bear that fruit. By the grace of God, you are what you are. And I tell you what, God needs you, and God has a place for you. It's not like he needs us. He has made a place for us, each one of us, uniquely in the body of Christ because he has made us so. So love God, grow in Christ, do the work that he sets your hands to do, and stop worrying about it. Stop beating yourself up. And stop pointing the finger at other people saying, well, I wish he was more like me, because I don't. One of you's enough. One of me's enough. Each member is different because each task, each work given to those members is just a little different. And look, it requires the unique person to do them. That's why I believe, now look, I believe in a lot of liberty and latitude in developing ministries in the local church. I'm a very hands-off kind of pastor. There are certain things that I believe are very important that I'm going to have my fingers into all the way up to my wrists, okay? But there's other stuff. You say, well, Greg, can I do that? Well, sure. Have at it. Build a ministry. Do something. Because you are you. You're passionate about something that I'm not passionate about. And you got gifts and talents and skills that I don't have. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, give it a try. And if it doesn't work, try something else. It's okay. There is a biblical way to evangelize. There is a biblical way to build another up, to edify a believer. But you know what? We're all going to do it a little bit different. But we need to be doing it. We need to be doing it. Okay. With that said, go back to Ephesians 2. Because I got a question for you. Where's the weak link in all of this? I know I've used that phrase before in our series here. You know, where's the weak link in all of this divine design of workers? God designed the workers and the works to accomplish the mission. It's a perfect fit. God made you for certain works, and God has designed those works and ordained those works that you should walk in them. It's square hole, square peg. It's a perfect fit. Where's the weak link? Because, look, God has done his part. He says, look, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has already made you new in Christ. And then he says that those works God hath before ordained, he has established them that we should walk in them. He made the worker for the works and the works for the worker. So what's the problem? Me, that's it, right there. Me, I'm the problem. It's us, folks, it's us. Ephesians 2:19. This is where we're going to get to at the end of the following parallel passage. We're going to get to the same conclusion that there are works for us to do. Look at Ephesians 2:19. Paul says, Ephesians 2:19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Now watch it, verse 22. In whom ye also are builded, what's the word? Together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. The problem is that the church functions as God designed when we are builded together. Not just one guy doing it. Not just two guys doing it. Not just a small spiritual elite of really dedicated Christians. No, no, no. When each member does his part in evangelism and edification, the body works like God wants it to. It will be edified. It'll grow. It'll be healthy. Okay, and we all know growth is not always numbers. Growth is also spiritual maturity. The problem is us. And that brings us to our last point of study. Okay, we saw that God has a purpose in us. He has made us for specific works. He's also taken those works and designed them for us, the perfect fit. What's God's purpose? What does it require of us? And I just want to talk briefly about two things. First and foremost, it requires preparation. preparation. And then it requires diligence. Look at Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. You know, in order to do the works that God designed for us to do, the works that He designed for us, we need to first prepare ourselves for those works. And then we need to exercise diligence in actually doing those works. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 say, "And He, Christ, gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And He gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, that last phrase in verse 12 is our healthy church. A church that edifies itself in love is a church where the saints are doing the work of the ministry. But in order to do the work of the ministry, what do the saints need? They need to be perfected. The perfecting of the saints is so that the saints can do the work of the ministry. We do that work of the ministry, evangelism and edification, that the body of Christ might be built up. So we see in verse 11 that God has charged the leadership of the church, especially the pastor teacher, he's mentioned last in the list. He has charged the leadership with the task of perfecting the saints, preparing them through the teaching and training through Scripture so that they might do the work of the ministry. Jump over to 2 Timothy real quick. Just jump over to 2 Timothy. I'll pull out a couple of things here I thought were interesting. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'm going to read a couple of verses there in chapter 4 also. The pastor teacher, this is he has given to the body of Christ in order to perfect the saints. And he perfects the saints, we've seen this before, through teaching the Scripture, through instruction, and also giving an example that the saints can imitate or follow. And he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine," there's your teaching, "and then for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." There's your application. And then he says in verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto" what? All good works. In order to get to the all good works, truly furnished unto all good works, you have to be perfected. Perfected means prepared through the teaching and application of Scripture. And then he goes on to say in verse 1 of chapter 4, watch this. "I charge thee therefore," now Timothy is the senior pastor of the church in Ephesus. He is the pastor teacher in charge of the congregation. "I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, it is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word." It's the same word we saw before. It's the Scripture. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." I think it's already here. "But after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And fog machines. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And you watch him in verse 5, he says, "Watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." See, the pastor's also, not only is he in charge of perfecting the saints through teaching and preaching and application of Scripture, he is also charged with the work of an evangelist. What does the evangelist do? Go back to Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. Because the evangelist is mentioned in this verse along with the pastor and teacher. The evangelist is one of the leaders. Okay, verse 11, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And He gave these men for the perfecting of the saints." See, a lot of times we get this idea that an evangelist is somebody who goes out and evangelizes. But is that what Scripture says? No, we're all charged, we're all commanded, commissioned to go evangelize. The evangelist is given as one of the leadership structure for what? For the perfecting of the saints. What does the evangelist do? Teaches and trains the saints how to evangelize. Okay, he's a guy who has gifts and calling, whatever that God has given him, that he is a special leader in that he can teach and train the saints in the work of evangelism. You say, well, then why did God charge the pastor teacher with the work of an evangelist? He says, do the work of an evangelist, which is teaching and training the saints in evangelism. And I think, number one, it's because that work of evangelism is very, very important. So important that God says, look, if the evangelist does it, I want the pastor to do it too. But in second place, how many of you know an evangelist? A biblical evangelist committed in a local church structure as one of the elders, one of the pastors, one of the leaders in a local church who is dedicated to teaching and training the saints in the work of evangelism. How many of you know a man like that? I don't know one. I think they're scarce. And the ones that we do know of, the ones that we do rub shoulders with, most of them are not committed to the local church. Most of them are committed to their own corporations. They are incorporated and they are in it to make their own living, okay, off their parachurch ministries. And yet God says, look, it is a very important work, so important I want the pastor to do it. Why? Because if there's an evangelist, well, great, we need the pastor in there too. But more often than not, there's no evangelist. There's no evangelist. And we cannot let that work go by. Why? The saints need, and this is my point, the saints need preparation in the mission. The pastor teacher needs to be about the business of perfecting the saints through the teaching and application of Scripture. Okay? Like we're doing today, like we do on Wednesdays. But now think about it. Now here's where we kind of turn the tables a little bit, okay? Here's where I want to try and bring out the point of the importance of everybody participating in the ministry according to their gifts and calling, or according to their gifts, personality, however you want to phrase it. The work of the pastor teacher is a full-time job. It takes time. I know we've bantered this forth and back about the door hangers. In kind of a joking way that, yeah, I'm going to have you guys preach so that I can go out and do the door hangers, just because I've wanted to go out and do be on the streets and do the door hangers forever, but just can't find the time. And it's just that. It takes time, okay? Therefore, who is doing most of the work of the ministry in evangelism and edification? Who is doing the work of the ministry? It's the saints. That's Ephesians 4:12. I have a very small part to play in the ministry of the body of Christ. Very small. The majority of the ministry, the work of the ministry that will result in the edifying of the body of Christ, will be done by the saints. Does that make sense? Do we see that? Because here's the deal. If a pastor teacher fails in his job, okay, some for laziness, right? Some simply just don't want to put in the effort that it takes to put together good teaching and training to get the saints trained up and prepared to where they need to be. Or simply because the pastor is trying to do everything himself. What's going to happen in the mission? The saints are not going to be perfected. And because the saints are not prepared for the ministry, the work of the ministry will not get done. And that's called failure. I mean, are we singing off the same song sheet here? God has ordained the saints to do the work of the ministry to make the church grow. Each saint has been created in Christ Jesus for good works, and those works require preparation. I will guarantee you that when you find the works that God gave you to do, those works will keep you up at night. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had something like that? You know, wow, I got this project, and man, I just really want to get it done, and you just can't sleep. Boy, you're up, or you wake up in the middle of the night, and you're thinking about it. I remember when I started writing books down in Costa Rica, when the idea first hit me, I was up all night, just because I was like, wow, yeah, that we can do this study, and we got this study already done, and we can put this one in a book, and then we can start getting this up on the website, and then we can start putting out this material. And it was just all this stuff going on inside your head, you know, and you're like, wow, 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 wow. That is how it works when you find your niche in the body of Christ. That's why we need to be prepared. Preparation comes through the teaching and application of Scripture so that you can grow and mature in Jesus Christ. And as you begin to get involved in different areas of the ministry, God will lead you to that aspect of the ministry where, yeah, it's a good fit and you can do it probably better than anybody else in our church. But it requires preparation. And because it requires preparation, it also requires, here's the bad word, and we're going to finish with the bad word. Okay? Diligence. Diligence. God has already done His part. He's made the works. He's made the workers. He's designed the local church. He's done His part. the weak link between God's purpose and our divine design in Christ and a successful local church ministry is us. We're often not as diligent as we ought to be, okay? Not as diligent in the works that God gave us to do. We're too easily distracted. We're too easily discouraged. And I will include myself in that package. What is diligence? Diligence is constant and focused effort to accomplish something. Diligence is constant and focused effort to accomplish something. Diligence requires three things. In order to be diligent, you have to have a goal. You see, if you're going to be constant and focused in order to accomplish something, what's that something you're going to accomplish? We always talk about, wow, he's a diligent student. Well, is he a diligent student just because he reads a lot of books? No, he's a diligent student because he wants that degree, and boy, he's working hard at it. He has a goal, and he is working toward that goal. Our goal is our mission. We want to be and make disciples. We want to see evangelism result in salvation. We want to see edification result in sanctification. Yes or no? Yeah, that's the goal. Diligence requires a goal. In second place, diligence requires a decision. Because I can stand up here, we can put up our mission and our purpose on these fancy little banners and what we're going to do to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. But look, if we never make the decision that I am going to live for that, we'll never do it. And if we don't decide for this, we've already decided for something else. You see, if I am not living for God in Christ, then I am living for somebody or for something other than that. I have 24 hours a day just like you do. What am I living for? What are you working towards? What do you want out of life? Is it that? See, there's a goal. There has to be a decision. There has to be some sort of dedication where you just come to the point you say, "This I will live for God." And then that brings us to the third thing we need. Yes, we need a goal. We need a decision. Dedicate ourselves to it. But in third place, we need discipline. And I know that's not very popular, okay? But we need discipline because we have to have the daily, constant, focused effort. It's work. It's labor. To reach the goal. A lot of you people, I know, looking around, I know a lot of you guys have college degrees. Okay, was that an easy thing? How about high school? For some of us, that was a challenge, okay? Just getting out of high school without ending up in jail, you know? So, look, this is where it most often breaks down, is in the daily discipline. And this is why the local church is important. And this is why we should not speak of programs in the church in a negative way. You know what? We need programs. Why? Because they obligate us to exercise the discipline to get done what we need to get done to reach the goal. Do you know why we haven't... You know, I'm going to sneeze here in a minute. My cold is going to be making a mess. Do you know why we haven't hung out our door hangers? We haven't been disciplined about it. And you know why? You know, what's the problem? Well, I don't want to do it. No, I don't. I don't. I get done with my week. I get done with my days. My job is I don't enjoy it, and it makes me want to scream and pull my hair out. And so I come home, and you know what? I'm tired. And so you come home and you know, spend time with my kids. And then after the whole week of that, you know what the last thing I want to do Friday night? Last thing I want to do is go out and hang door hangers on doors. And then I get up at 4:30 on Saturday so I can start putting together my message and working on the Wednesday night stuff. And then Saturday afternoon, evening rolls around. You know what? And you know, it's the last thing I want to do is... But if we had it programmed and everybody knew... Okay, this Friday, 7 o'clock. This Friday, 5 o'clock. Okay, this Saturday, 3 o'clock. Okay, you know what? We do it. We do it. And that is why God has put us in a local church, one with another. We have to program this kind of thing or it's not going to get done. We have to. Diligence. You need a goal, you need a decision. Dedicate yourself to it, but you need the discipline to take care of it, and that is why we're in a local church together. Look, Ephesians chapter 2. We just finished up the first 10 verses. In Christ, we who were dead in trespasses and sins, we who were children of wrath, and rightly so, we have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. And verse 10 tells us that that new life comes with purpose. You know, we can make an eternal difference with our temporal lives. We can make a difference in somebody's life and somebody's eternity. We can be used of God to save souls and help other believers understand and grasp God's plan. God's given us that opportunity. But in order to do so, we have to prepare ourselves and be diligent in the works that God has given us to do. We are all called to evangelism, but each member is different, and therefore each member will do the work of evangelism a little differently. We're not talking about straying from the biblical model of evangelism. We need to expose sin using the law, and we need to preach the message of Christ, and we need to call men to repentance and faith. We're not talking about changing doctrine. We're talking about, hey, maybe you're a street preacher. Hey, maybe you can put together gospel tracts. Maybe you can do this. It's everybody involved doing it according to their own divine design, but doing the work of evangelism together, corporately and individually. And we're also called to edification. Each member is called to edify other members in the body of Christ, to help them be built up in Jesus Christ. And we're going to do it just a little differently. You know, maybe you're a one-on-one kind of person. Maybe you're a small group kind of person. Maybe you're a teaching in a classroom kind of guy. Or maybe you're just kind of the person that's more spontaneous, you know, and you call people. Now, you know, how many times we've talked about that? I mean, the church in Costa Rica, we were down there for 13 years, and I think it came up once a month. Boy, we need somebody to call people and just find out, hey, how you doing? You know what I said? Great, do it. Why? Because there's some people that are built that way. You know what? That for some people, that's nice. That's good. That works. That's edifying. For some people, it doesn't work. Everybody's built different. But we all ought to be involved in evangelism and edification. God has done His part in saving us and making us new in Christ. He has made us new for good works. And He's ordained those good works for us. So here are my two questions. Are you prepared for the works God expects you to do? Are you prepared for them? Have you prepared yourself, or are you preparing yourself? Are you growing in Jesus Christ? If not, why not? You say, well, I don't know what my works are. You know, it's like driving a car. I took my boys out yesterday, gave them their first lesson with the car. We all survived. But you know what? It is a whole lot easier to steer the car once it's moving. You think, well, I want to go in a different direction. Try picking it up and moving it. It's a whole lot easier to put it in gear, let your foot off the brake, and steer the car when it gets to moving. And I think a lot of Christians are sitting, waiting for that spiritual coconut to come down and bonk them on the head and say, you're supposed to be a missionary to China. When frankly, what you need to do is just get moving. Learn the Bible, develop a quiet time, learn how to pray, grow in Jesus Christ, grow in grace, get out on the street, try this, try that, do something, and God will guide you to the next step. And then the second question I have for you, in addition to being prepared, or are you preparing, are you moving in a direction? Look, are you diligent? And I don't know what to say about that. As a body, as a church, local church, you and I'm not going to point any fingers. I'm just going to ask you. I don't want anybody to answer me. Don't answer me, okay? Are we being as diligent as God expects us to be in the ministry? Are we? We have a church. It's a new church in southern Johnson County. Are you diligent in evangelizing the lost in southern Johnson County? Are you diligent in edifying other believers in southern Johnson County? Are we being diligent in the works in the ministry where God has put us? Or is there something that we can change in order to better glorify God by finishing the work He has given us to do? because that gets right back to it. We glorify God on earth like Christ, John 17:4. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the works which thou gavest me to do. That's how we do it. God has created us in Christ for good works. He's ordained those good works for us. It's a perfect fit. Are you doing those works? Are you being diligent in those works? You say, well, I don't know what they are. Well, okay, that's fine. Are you at least doing something to grow in Christ and participate in the work? Something. Because even if you never find your niche, God's not going to hold you responsible for that. If you think, well, I never really found that work that makes me go, yeah, you know? Or have you been doing something? Have you been doing something? Or are you like that servant that took the pound that his Lord gave him, put it in a napkin? You remember that story? Put it in a napkin and just stored it away. I think that's what a lot of us do. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to quit. Take that pound, put it in a napkin, and put it away. And God says, well, why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I could have some interest on it? Why didn't you at least do something? Even if it wasn't the great grand thing of how you got 10 talents for the talent that I gave you, or 5 talents for the talent I gave, why didn't you just do something? I don't know. I was busy. Had other things to do. All right. I got other things to do too. You know? But boy, I don't want to end my life that way. I don't. And so we're a body. We need to be, you know, lifting each other up and encouraging each other and working with each other to get this ministry off the ground. Okay? So we can be a healthy local church where other believers can come, be edified, a healthy local church that is out in our community witnessing for Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we do love you and thank you for the time we've had today. And Lord, it's good. Open up the Bible and Lord, look at the purpose.